only radio show that can honestly tell you what Bill Parcells look like naked. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, big picture at Ohio State, going for a national title. But a lot of guys will be playing on Sundays, no doubt. And they'll be high draft picks. NFL draft writer for CBS Sports is Chris Trapasso, and he jumps on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Chris, welcome. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Ohio State certainly is loaded. I'm going to ask you more of the tougher question. J.K. Dobbins certainly plays a position where, you know, Zeke Elliott got a chance to get in there and be all it took is one team to fall in love. Tell me about J.K. Dobbins, what you think his prospects are as a pro.
I think he's going to be a top 50 pick. I'm not going to say that I would bet on him being a first round selection. But what he's been able to do at the beginning and then this season in his career, to average over 7 yards per attempt as a freshman, just was a big recruit and came in and lived up to expectations right away. Had somewhat of a down year, not a bad year last season, but was in more of a timeshare, and then is up over 7 yards per attempt this year, I think is really leading to him having his draft stock rise. I can see him getting picked to a team in the early second round. Maybe a team takes a chance on him in the late first round, but to have his speed, have his cutting ability, and even though he's a little smaller, I think he's the perfect size for the modern day running back in the NFL. 5'10", 5'11", 215, 220, low center of gravity, very shifty. I think maybe not picked as high as Zeke Elliott, not a lot of running backs are, but J.K. Dobbins has re-solidified himself as one of the top running backs in what is a very good and very deep running back class.
Do you think there'll be multiple running backs going in the first round this year, Chris? Is it shaping up like that? Because for a while it was just, those guys are persona non grata in day one.
I don't think so. I think Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin has a chance just because he's been so productive, and he's a little different from other Wisconsin running backs in that he has that breakaway speed. He came in to Wisconsin with that track background, and we see that with some of those long runs. But beyond him, he seems to be the most likely. I think we're going to see a lot of running backs go in the second and third round, which is certainly, there's no shame in that, but from there, they're going to be featured backs right away. And you know, in the modern day NFL, that might be 15 carries and a couple of catches a game, but that's the kind of usage that teams like to use their running backs. There's DeAndre Swift at Georgia. There's Dobbins. There's Cam Akers at Florida State. Eno Benjamin at Arizona State. There's a lot of good running backs in this class, but I think there's not really that elite prospect that checks all the boxes and looks like a total workhorse beyond Jonathan Taylor. And I don't even know if he right now is a lock to go in the first round. Doesn't have some of the springiness and the bounce that even a J.K. Dobbins or a Cam Akers have.
We saw the big board with Kuiper and the guys, and maybe it's surprising to some people because he's not a household name, maybe outside the Big Ten is Jeffrey Okuda. And he's certainly, his stock was rising to the point where we thought, my goodness, you could have couple Buckeyes going right there in the top five. What are you hearing about Okuda?
Yeah, I think that's spot on. When I did my own big board update about 6 or 7 weeks into the season, I did kind of a mid-season evaluation, and Jeffrey Okuda graded out as my top player in the entire draft. Since then, Chase Young had some pretty impressive games, went ahead of Jeffrey Okuda, but in terms of his twitchiness, his ability to plant and drive on the football on comeback routes, on in-breaking routes, even toward the sideline, and the fact that he has that size, he moves like he's about 5'9" and 170 pounds, but then you see, oh, he's over 6'1". He's almost 200 pounds, has really good ball skills. We've seen a couple of those kind of acrobatic interceptions. Right now, along with Christian Fulton from LSU, I think Jeffrey Okuda is the odds-on favorite to be the first corner off the board, and I would be shocked if he's picked beyond the top 10. I think top five for he and Chase Young seems to be the most likely right now.
How about the guy that plays opposite of him, the fifth-year senior in Damon Arnett? You know, could have potentially came out last year, didn't have a great season, but has played much better here in his fifth season for the Bucs.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me, playing a little bit of a different position, but in the secondary, of Von Bell. That Von Bell at Ohio State was kind of overlooked by some more flashier players, guys who went in the first round. And he's been a really good player for the New Orleans Saints. I think that Arnett can be a similar type, that Jeffrey Okuda is going to get all the fanfare during the pre-draft process. I think if Sean Wade declared that he could potentially sneak into the first round, he, you know, was even a bigger recruit than Jeffrey Okuda, and has been such a good player early in his career in Columbus. But Arnett has played better. I think scouts will like the fact that he has multiple years of maybe not elite production, but quality production, gotten his hands on some footballs, had some interceptions earlier in his career. And you're right that he has played better this season, has the size, has the length. And Ohio State has really become a defensive back factory in the last 5 to 10 years. A lot of high-quality players that go early and then ultimately become good NFL pros.
We all know there's no way to make a speculation really on Tua, even if his doctors are coming out and saying, oh, everything went great. I don't know if we'll know enough by then to really make an accurate, declaration on him. So where do you see, how far do you see Tua dropping? How do you see this playing out? And then on top of that, Joe Burrow. Certainly we know he's the lock for the Heisman at this point, but what about his pro potential?
Well, with Tua, I think he's still going to go in the first round. I mean, if he hadn't gotten injured, and even if Alabama didn't win the national title and Tua didn't have as great of an end of the season as he did last year before that national title game, he was going to go in the top 10. He was going to be the second and at absolute worst, the third quarterback off the board, most likely the second after Joe Burrow. So I still think he goes in the first because the team is going to want that fifth-year option. They're going to want to have the ability to, have him play on that fifth-year portion of his rookie deal. So a team maybe like the LA Chargers, a team that's in the playoffs as a veteran quarterback that wants to plan for the future, it's kind of devastating how it is going to really move his stock down. I would be very surprised if he goes outside the first round. And as for Joe Burrow, he's the odds-on favorite, kind of like you said, for the Heisman and to be the first overall pick. It looks like the Cincinnati Bengals are trending toward being that team. They're probably going to be done with Andy Dalton. They benched him. His contract's basically done after this year. Ryan Finley is an older rookie. Doesn't look like he's the long-term solution. So if he continues playing the way he has, and he's going to have some tougher games, SEC title game, most likely the college football playoff, where teams are going to be able to match up with the skill position players of LSU. So that'll be interesting to see how he responds, but he's passed every test so far. So right now he's going from Ohio State to transferring to kind of being really off the draft radar coming into the season to being the odds on favorite to be the first pick.
All right, man, that's a lot of good stuff there. It's going to be a wild ride. We're thinking this is one of the most talented Ohio State teams we've ever seen. And certainly with Justin Fields at the controls, it seems like everything is possible. I guess we'll kind of wrap it up like with an overall general college football question, because I know you cover a lot of these prospects. They're playing Penn State this week. Freiermuth is a big tight end. He's got to be an NFL prospect. KJ Hamler, certainly. Who have you noticed on Penn State? Those two guys, mostly?
Yeah, definitely those two. And you watch KJ Hamler, and he just moves different. His explosiveness off the ball and then hitting that second gear once he gets through the second level on deep balls, they like to feature him and just use that acceleration and his long speed. And Freiermuth's kind of the same way. He's obviously bigger. He's a tight end. He's only a sophomore, but he might be able to be eligible for the draft because he spent like a fifth year in high school. So he's actually 3 years removed from a four-year high school, but he's another really threatening player, more so after the catch. But if you can limit those two from hitting big plays, you can have success against Penn State.
Great stuff. NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. He is Chris Trapasso. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso. Great talking with you. Enjoyed it, and we'll have you back soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.